From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the first day of November 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Soybeans rallied today. That on news from Washington, D.C. and Beijing. We'll also check in on what's been happening with the cash grain market with Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. And we'll hear something about dicamba as it relates to its extension as a registered product with U.S. EPA. That happened yesterday. Bayer had a press conference about the product. Within the last hour, we'll hear from their representatives right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this very first day of November 2018. We're now joined by Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. And the commodity markets, at least the soybeans, Dan, were all about the president today because he said he had a really good conversation with President Xi of China. And actually, President Xi of China responded in the state-run media that it was a good conversation and that he was looking forward to a normalized or better trade relations with the United States. What do you think of it all?
Well, I hope it materializes. But at least it was the first positive sign from this China tensions on trade that we've had for several months or weeks. And hopefully this is the beginning of the end we'll eventually begin to sit down and work out some kind of deal that's basically a win-win for both countries. We're at the point where it's kind of a standoff, and the fact that they're willing to sit down and talk now, I think, is really a big step in the right direction. It's just hopeful that it can come to fruition, that they can come to some kind of agreement and get this thing behind us. That's definitely would be positive for U.S. agriculture, because we have been definitely suffering, at least on the demand side, more so on soybeans and corn. But both corn and soybean numbers have been pretty discouraging on the export sales front for the past several weeks. So hopefully this is the start of something that can kind of provide seasonal strength to the marketplace as we move into the new growing season.
And if we do have some movement, it probably won't be until after the G8 meeting in Argentina that takes place in December. So some time yet. Do you think there is the potential for follow-up at this point for the soybeans, whether it be just based on excitement about the president's statements, or maybe just the lack of harvest pressure that will be coming, because we're mostly through the harvest season for both, actually, corn and soybeans now?
Yeah, the fact that we are, letting up on the seasonal pressure, and at least the prospects that something may be worked out with China, just because the China president and Trump doesn't meet until December doesn't mean that lower officials ain't working on a deal. So that's and there'll be rumors that'll be coming out of those type of discussions. So it'll probably depend upon what kind of rumors we get out of that lower level discussion level. And then the fact that seasonal harvest pressure is pretty much behind us, but we still have seasonal cash flow pressure ahead of us. There is no doubt a lot of farmers' cash flow needs begin to increase December 1st and steadily rise, as we go through the winter months. So we will have some seasonal cash flow pressure. So what I'm hoping for is, I think this type of price action solidifies that the harvest lows are behind us, seasonal lows are behind us, and now we're going to maybe try to find the upper end of a sideways trading range that we'll kind of trade in during the next few months, and we'll see how the South American crop develops, and then we'll see what the final deal is. If we can get a solid deal with China behind us. And then we'll see what the 2020 or the 2019 growing season looks like as it begins to shape up. So technically, I really like the market. I mean, it takes some imagination, but there are some visible head and shoulder bottoms forming in both corn and soybeans, and this weakness that we had during October, the last couple of weeks of October anyway, could be viewed as a right shoulder of a head and shoulder bottom. And now it's going to take some more work on the upside to confirm them and solidify them, but there is some potential there, at least from a chart picture point of view, that we're laying the groundwork for maybe a mid-winter rally, early spring rally. We'll just have to see how that develops. And I think a lot of that will probably be whether or not we can get a trade deal put together with China. So I'm optimistic, at least in that front, because I think the market has priced in probably as big a crop as we're going to have. The worst of the demand scenarios were built in here a month ago. It's built in a fairly sizable big increase in South American production. So there's room for a lot of that supply stuff to kind of shrink, and then the demand factors begin to expand a little bit, and that can provide some underlying support. But yeah, while I'm friendly to the market, I don't want to be no super bull in here. Farmers do have to, you know, take a look at their actual yields. They have to look at the per acre gross as they market their crop going into, next growing season. And we just manage, you know, 1 month at a time in here, depending upon what. But the prices are much better than I think anybody would have thought they were going back into the August crop report after USDA came out with those big numbers. So prices have held up a lot better and stronger than a lot of people, I think, would have thought here just 2-3 months ago.
Hey, speaking of a month of a time, I've got a question about that based on what happened last month and how that closed, what that means technically, if anything, and if that's different than the imagination you've got going with the bottoms, the head and shoulder bottoms, and also just a set of numbers that I saw, the difference between the spring price and the fall price, February and October are the crop insurance months, and these are unofficial, but 28 cents lower for corn, $1.56 lower for soybeans from spring to fall. So what do you make of the last month and the trading range it had, and how that looks as it relates to the head and shoulder bottoms at all, if at all, that you're seeing in some of these markets?
Well, corn closed solidly higher during the month of October. Beans really didn't. They came down, I think, looking at the chart, maybe a couple cents lower for the month. But when you look at beans, they basically, the monthly closes in soybeans, basically from August, September, and October, just looking at the chart, was within 10 cents, I think, or even smaller range than that. So the bottoms that we saw during that September, August, September, and October lows, that's pretty good chart support now with today's push of, you know, roughly 25 to 30 cents higher. So that's going to be, I think, a good bottom in price range. Now, corn has been in a uptrending type market basically since it made its lows in August. Now, we did have kind of a sideways trading range here during the last half of October, but we did close out the month higher. So seasonally, corn is working a fairly typical seasonal pattern of strengthening, you know, having a higher monthly October close, and then strengthening here into the first half or so in November. Now, corn has a strong seasonal tendency sometimes to weaken going into the December delivery period. And sometimes that is enough bearishness maybe to go back and check out the harvest lows. But I think, that's still a possibility. I don't think we'll take those lows out, but we could come back. I mean, looking at the seasonal nature of corn as we go into that December delivery period, I would not rule that out. But I think, chart-wise, I'm optimistic enough to think that's probably not going to happen. soybeans, the fact that we're at least I think soybeans drifted lower during the month of October, strictly, basically, no demand underneath the market as far as export demand goes. And then just a steady diet of some fairly hefty type yields, which was not a surprise to anybody, but we continue to hear very large supply numbers. And you just look at the balance sheet on soybeans, it is just terrible looking compared to corn. Corn, longer term, the balance sheet looks a little better, especially when you start talking about, if we could ever get some demand going, and export demand, ethanol demand is real strong here. Hopefully E15 will help us out at least on a few million bushels anyway. But the balance sheet on soybeans just looks absolutely terrible if South America, has a big crop. So I think that's probably why corn was probably a little stronger commodity, and it looks has a little better technical picture than probably soybeans do. But they're both in a broad-based sideways trading range. I think we're just trying to – I think the bottom end has been found basically during the month of September when we made those seasonal lows, and now we're just trying to find the upper end of that price range for the winter. So, I think this type of rally, farmer has to take it day by day, but, this might be a rally to sell, for those that know that they have to get some cash flow coming in by December 1st or early January to take advantage of the seasonal strength that shows up here during the first half of November.
We will let you ruminate on that just a bit. In about 40 minutes, I'll give you a call back and we'll record Commodity Week. Hey, thanks so much. Looking forward to talking to you then.
Very well.
That is Dan Zwicker. He is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. Do buy your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference. It's coming up on the 20th day of November. We have a great lineup for you. We're going to talk about the supply chain and how it really does want you in some unique and different ways, how big corporations are reaching all the way back through it to make some changes in the way it contacts you. And maybe in the way it contracts with you as well. I know the CME Group, along with ADM, Cargill, Bunge, and the rest of the crew are thinking about some other options, but there may be some ways for you, the commodity grower, to reach all the way out to the end customer, and we're going to talk about that. We'll hear about Research Park here on campus. That's where all the techie stuff happens with big data and some other companies that are operating out there. We'll hear what they're up to and some of the tenants there and what you might expect in agriculture. And of course, we'll take up trade, tariffs, grain flow, the farm economy, and the marketplace. The Farm Assets Conference is the 20th day of November. Tickets are $40. All the information is online at willag.org. Up next, U.S. EPA has re-registered dicamba. We know U.S. EPA has re-registered dicamba for 2 years for over-the-top use to control weeds in fields for cotton and soybean plants genetically engineered to resist the more than 50-year-old herbicide formulation. Acting EPA Administrator Andrew Wheeler says by extending the registration for another 2 years with important new label updates that place additional restrictions on the product, the agency is providing certainty to all stakeholders for the upcoming growing season. Bayer, which has now purchased Monsanto and owns the Xtendimax version of the dicamba formulation, held a press conference in the last hour to discuss EPA's announcement. Bayer says some 50 million acres of cotton and soybeans were treated over the top this past season with dicamba products. About half of the soybeans planted in the United States, that's roughly 45 million acres, were dicamba resistant. That's double the number from the previous year. The problem with the product has been that it drifts in unusual ways. Now, Bayer's crop protection lead, Ty Witten, says farmers and applicators have gotten a lot better at using it.
In terms of what we look for, off-target movement of pesticides, and in this case, your question pertaining to dicambas, what we saw a great reduction in grower understanding of pesticide movement and drift. That's one of the things within this product is we spend a lot of time educating and putting out in front of the new technologies that growers have at their disposal for application requirements. And we're seeing that that is a continued improvement. Again, this awareness with what is neighboring crops continues to go up. Neighbors are having good conversations and being more successful in 2018 than we even saw in 2017. We believe that'll continue with our education efforts that are still a requirement of this product label to get out in front and have that opportunity for success.
Bayer's portfolio lead for the dicamba products, Ryan Rubishko, followed up.
I would add to that, I mean, when we look at specifically 2018 in terms of the inquiries that we managed and where growers and applicators contacted us directly, you know, we saw a substantial decrease in the number of inquiries by growers and applicators. You know, to be specific, we saw a 75% decrease in the number of off-target movement inquiries from 2017 to 2018. And then that, you know, keeping in mind that, the Xtend crop system doubled in terms of the number of acres planted from 2017 to 2018 as well. So that is in part, as Ty highlighted, the training and education being a key component. We see that directly correlated to the numbers that I just outlined in terms of grower and applicator success with on-target applications.
Still, EPA has seen fit to tighten the application regulations. Specifically, through December of 2020, only certified applicators may apply dicamba over the top. Those working under the supervision of a certified applicator may no longer make applications. It also prohibits over-the-top applications of dicamba on soybeans 45 days after planting and cotton 60 days after planting. And applications will be allowed only from 1 hour after sunrise to 2 hours before sunset. There are other restrictions as well. They'll all be listed on the new dicamba labels. We're now joined by Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, to take a look at the cash grain market. Hey, hi, Matt. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great. You?
Oh, I'm doing very well. What'd you think of the rally in the soybeans today?
Well, I'm just glad today was a good day that the president used Twitter in the appropriate way for the ag world. But, I went up and videoed U.S. Farm Report, took the family up there with me today, and we talked about that quite a bit. I was on with Bill Biederman. Very interesting take on what this kind of rally would mean. It was kind of nice to hear someone like him have a similar take as what I had.
Yeah. So Bill Biederman, did you and he both say this is a place where producers ought to consider making a cash sale? Then
yes, and I kind of feel that way just from a simplicity standpoint because you're going to be profitable. Producers, especially with the kind of subsidy they're getting, yields we've seen in our part of the world. But as far as Bill was concerned, you know, he felt like the last time we had a 30-cent plus rally, it got sold off fairly quickly. And even though he's fairly friendly to the corn market, he certainly felt like this was definitely a selling opportunity.
Yeah, that was October 14 or 15 or something like that. It was like 18 cents. So it was quite the rally, and then it just disappeared. What do you think about corn at the moment?
Well, I feel like long-term corn's probably got a chance to gain value. I do think that the yield's going to come down. The more people I talk to, it's pretty easy to see that the average trade guess is that it's going to come down a little bit. And then demand's still awfully good. I would like to see better export sales here today. But the bottom line is I think this carryout's going to come down. You get down into a 1.7 carryout, 1.75 carryout even, I think that it's tight enough that you should be able to see a fair amount of support for the corn market, because I do think that you're going to have 5 acres.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it, Matt.
Yep, thank you, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Thursday afternoon. Mike Tenner is now here from T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Mike, I'd like to start in South America and work our way northward, please. Can we begin with Argentina? Tell me about it.
Well, Argentina is looking fine at the moment for planting. We do have some dry areas out there. We do have some wet areas as well. But overall, this mix of dry and wet conditions is not a real major problem for corn, soybean, or sunflower planting. The one thing that we are keeping an eye on, though, regards wheat. Some of these wheat areas could use a little bit more rain. About 60% of the wheat crop was drier than normal over the last 30 days, and we'd really like to have that number closer to 15 to 25%. That would be a little more typical. So the coverage of dryness is a little bit elevated. There will be some more rain moving through over the next 5 to 10 days. So overall, our concerns for Argentina are only moderate to low at the moment.
And work your way northward through Brazil?
Well, Brazil's been very wet for a while. There's been a lot of rain that started up about 4 to 6 weeks ago, and that's continued. We're seeing rains pretty much every day going forward, and it's been like that for the last 5 to 10 days as well. You could argue that some of the rain will occur too frequently for rapid planting, but overall, it's hard to be too excited about problems in Brazil just because they have that nice type of soil that can absorb heavy rainfall. So even with all of this rain, it's going to take a lot more to develop big problems. And at the moment, all we can do is watch it. Just note that it is raining quite a bit, but to this point, it's not developing into an issue.
We've had rain here in the Corn Belt that slowed down the harvest season. Producers would like to get started again. I take it there's another round coming, though.
Well, you're right. We did see some pretty good rainfall overnight from the Delta through the southeast half of the Corn Belt, and that did include a lot of Illinois. The larger concern, though, is what happens early next week. At that point, we will see a pretty large system move through once again, and that's going to develop another 1 to 1.5 inches of rain across a big chunk of the Corn Belt, and that also includes these areas that saw some pretty good rainfall over the last 12 hours. So because of that, it's going to be difficult to harvest or plant wheat in rapid fashion from Arkansas, Kentucky, Missouri, parts of Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. So all those areas will be just a little bit wetter than we'd like to see for about another 10 days.
Finally, turn your attention to the dry conditions across Europe, Ukraine, and Russia.
Well, the coverage of 90-day dryness is pretty high across a large area of the European Union, Russia, and Ukraine. All of these areas would benefit from more rain. Now, Russia did see some pretty decent rainfall over the last 10 days, and so did Ukraine. Parts of Europe have also started to tap into some of this rain as well. But as we move forward, most of the European Union and Russia and Ukraine are going to be much drier and much warmer than normal, possibly even record-breaking warmth for the first half of November. So that drought is going to stick around as we move through this month. More than likely, it will be a factor into the winter. But of course, everything that really counts for wheat, besides how much is planted right now, regards weather later next year. So this is more of a planting type of issue and an emergence issue as opposed to a yield detrimental issue like we would see later in the spring and summer of next year.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mike Tenura is with T-Storm Weather in Chicago. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You've been listening to Illinois Public Media.